our next session, we're going to have a series of five-minute presentations from four panellists who will then come and join me up here on the stage for a question and answer session. So if I can just ask Bruce Christie, Rob Curtis, Lindsay Smart and David Hall to start making your way up here. And I think what I'll do is just introduce each of you as you're going to speak rather than do all four of you together. So in essence, I'll just introduce Bruce Christie, who's going to be our first speaker, and then go from there. Bruce is the head of risk management at TAL Limited and has over 20 years' experience in risk management and assurance across a range of industries, including banking, the oil and gas industry, and life insurance. Bruce joined TAL in 2008 and is responsible for all aspects of enterprise risk management there, and it's his original background as a chartered accountant, and is actually researching a doctorate on ARM at the moment. So without any further ado, Bruce, could I ask you to come and give us some of your thoughts?
Thank you, Tony, and I'd like to thank the Institute for inviting me to come up today. I've been asked to give a quick five-minute version of my take on the issues facing ARM, and I'll warn you now, I'm a technology Luddite, so I'll probably stuff the movement of this up. So I am an accountant by background, so my specialty is more qualitative than quantitative, and I have lots of discussions with our chief actuary, Fred Rowley, about ERM issues and how they all fit together from a quantitative and qualitative perspective. So there are, of course, a lot of issues facing ERM as a concept and us as practitioners. So there are main issues around sort of measurement models and risk culture, which we talked about earlier. But to me, the issue is, how do we move ERM to the next level, which is what we were talking about earlier, and what do I use it for? So I've just put a few issues quickly to run through. But to me is how I use the first one, how do I use risk management to actually drive a competitive advantage? And more importantly, what's the role of the chief risk officer, or in my case, the head of risk management, in driving this advantage? So a competitive advantage to me is the ability to make a business decision on a particular issue earlier than my competitors. How far can I, into the future can I see these things coming based on what I already know about my own business from using the ERM tools and where this business is heading in a strategic sense? So this is where ERM needs to serve the CRO to have a seat at that senior leadership table when those business decisions are being made. I don't think it's enough going forward to simply report the results of ERM. We must be actually able to help the business make those business decisions. So the issue facing ERM is making sure we don't view it as an end game. As we said earlier in the keynote, this is actually just the beginning. But it is, in fact, one of the chief tools available to the CRO to help drive that competitive advantage. So to make this a reality, there's several preconditions that we'll get this, if we get this right, will actually help us. So the first is that sustainable, how do we embed a sustainable risk culture? And we call it moving away from the placebo effect. It's just wonderful when you've got the regulator to tell you exactly what to do. You do a process, you do all your risk registers, you ask everybody, you write it all down, you justify it, you processify the hell out of it, and then you hand it back. And there's not a hell of a lot of value in just reporting what everyone thought, because a lot of the time for these things, risk is simply a perspective. It is a potential future event, and it's someone's opinion of what that potential future event is. Mine will be slightly different to yours and yours and yours. So those, ERM is really just a way of bringing that risk, sustainable risk culture out and documenting it. But so this is a culture we need to have where the risk-based decision-making is king. So, and we need to make sure, while the company is covered by that process, that we actually use that information for something else. And that brings me to the next point, which is the greater focus on holistic risk assessment. Going forward, this is about getting the right risk information to the right decision makers at the right time. And it's a fusion of information. It's quantitative, it's qualitative, it's different perspectives. The people that write risk registers, for example, or the people that own the risk, are not necessarily going to know everything about them. You can get perspectives across your organisation outside of ERM. You know, one of the things we joke about in ours is, in our company, is that the mailroom probably knows more about what's coming in than the people that own, say, complaints, because they're the ones that open all of the letters and scan them and send them off. So they can see volumes far before anybody else sees them in the business. So they may have a perspective on where things are heading too. So it's fusing all that information, and we actually use in our company a GRC concept as well. So while I've got ERM as a base, I've also got governance, risk and compliance. So sitting in the same department and fusing information are the internal auditors, the complaints people, the compliance people, the litigation people as well as the risk people. So you're starting to put those enterprise perspectives of things. So when people say, I've got this product, you can say, well, yes, but it's litigated against more often than not. We have complaints coming in at a certain rate on them, and we've got compliance issues in the back office. Maybe you should rethink whether we're selling this properly. So it's bringing that perspective to the debate as the chief risk officer and challenging. But the real one is really the second last one. Where does this stop then, and where does commercial acumen start? Because this is about how risk info from ERM is used in the decision-making process, and it's a difficult question to answer. It depends on how your organisation makes its decisions and what risk information it uses when it does. But if we as CROs are not contributing to those decisions in the strategic space around positioning the company for the future, then I don't think ERM is being used as effectively as it could be. So if I use the strategic space as an example, once ERM's done its job and we've got a good understanding of the risks and opportunities, how does this help us challenge a senior leadership? So, for example, I've included a bunch of slides which I won't go through, but they'll be in the pack when you have a look, that you can have a look around them. I'm in life insurance, so if I buy a contract or sell a contract now, I've got to be in business in 60 years' time to pay the claims. Several business cycles, probably a couple of recessions, and we've got to try and navigate through that. So it's not just about a day-to-day, it's a longer-term view. So we ask questions and challenge around our senior executive around longer-term positioning themes. We do not want to be Kodak. We do not want to be one of those 85 Fortune 100 companies that are no longer there after 20 years. I have to be one of the 15. So how do I do it? So we start to look for themes and positioning themes as a strategic risk. We use ERM, we use other things, but we are challenging our senior executive to go, if best practice organisations are starting to use digital mastery, what are you doing? How are we positioned for that, for the new digital business models? How long will it take us to do this? Collaboration. Are we using the social technologies within our business to drive better collaboration and a better risk culture? Are people talking about these things? Are we giving them the tools to do it? Because everyone else is. And there are varying other ones, a couple of other ones there around, you know, especially around Global Spring. We're talking about Australia in the Asian century. What happens with China? All those questions, what impacts do they have on us and how do we position ourselves? So just to the last slide, it's about bringing everything to that debate, and it's about sitting at the senior executive table and dealing with the complexities of running the business and not just becoming the provider of information. That's where ERM has to head. It's where CROs have to head. So the tweak, though, is if we go through this, if I want to develop a competitive advantage, I have to have the right decisions. That then generally feeds into a risk decision-making culture or a decision-making culture. And this is where the tweak, I think, has to occur in the future, is a lot of ERM at the moment is very process-based and it's very time-based. So you do it at a particular time, and the outputs come at a particular time. They're very regular. You update them. You push the information out to the business decision makers. In reality, they use a different time frame and a different, what I would term, a cadence. There's a rhythm of decision making in businesses. It's a natural thing. It's part of their culture. And the question is, how do you get them to pull the information they need to make that decision at the time they're doing it? And how do you get risk to tweak them, to make them understand that information has to be required now, and that you've developed the systems to bring and the culture to bring that information available at the right time they need it. And I think that is actually the challenge for ERM over the next 5 to 10 years. So to sum up, we're at that point where we're better understood with ERM than we were 5 to 10 years ago, as we were saying before. But the challenge for us is to make the best use and build off it, and try and take that value to the next level. So with that, I'll pass on, and thank you very much.